does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it
all. All right, the NFL's version of March Madness underway. We are recording this Tuesday morning at 10.02 a.m. Eddie Garrison, I find it worthwhile to bring that up because it can change in a hurry. You know, you and I went back and forth yesterday. You're like, hey, should we do something tomorrow? Should we not? I was kind of like, no. And then I'm like, well, maybe it'll do a Tuesday morning, Thursday morning. Kind of dual podcast here this week. Obviously, the news cycle will dictate exactly how that unfolds. But that's the tentative plan as of now. So thank you, everybody, for tuning into this edition of Kevin's Corner. I am Kevin Bowen. He is Eddie Garrison. And again, Eddie, as we record this, four are back, two are gone. Gardner Minshew and Zach Moss. And we'll continue to see how the rest of this week plays out for the Colts.
Absolutely. It was pretty eventful yesterday for the Colts, which is not usual when it comes to Chris Ballard. Doesn't usually operate with a lot of moves on the first day, but nevertheless, here we are.
Let's just go in chronological order from yesterday, okay? And let's start with the Zaire Franklin news. We'll go over pretty much every move so far. Again, six total if you want to look at it like that. You know, simply with Zaire Franklin, Eddie, you were paying him to be a special teamer, and he deserved linebacker money. He deserved legit linebacker money, and he certainly got that. You know, you can make the business analogy of in your company, you asked the guy and he came on as doing one thing in the marketing department, and now you're throwing sales stuff on him. Well, when are you going to start paying him like the sales guy? And, you know, Zaire was going into a contract year next season. So this is very similar to what we saw with, you know, reward your own before the final year of their rookie deal. That's the popular thing. And this is reward your own in the final year, going into the final year of his second contract. Eddie, it's a hell of a story. You know, seventh-round picks that turn into nine-year guys for you don't happen often. If Zaire Franklin plays out this contract, that will be the case. And, you know, it's weird when you think about Gus Bradley's arrival sparked an opportunity for Zaire Franklin, but so did kind of the Shaq Leonard demise. You know, both of those kind of played hand-in-hand when you see the now expanded role for Franklin. He stands for everything you want to be about. And again, we'll see how things play out for Kenny Moore and Julian Blackman. But Eddie, I don't see a lot of veteran voices in the back end of that group. And you know, you could even throw linebacker in there as well. So I think making sure that not only you have Zaire, which again, it's not like he was going anywhere, but you pay him and reward him for what he's done, to me, it makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm just glad that they were able to hammer that away before, you know, the end of the season, and we start speculating, oh, Zaire coming back, is Zaire going to be a free agent or anything like that? So this does not take effect until 2025, so it does not count towards this season in terms of the salary cap. Just thought I would throw that note out there.
And if you look at his contracts, Eddie, four for $2.5 million as that seventh-round pick, 4 years, $2.5 million. Three for $10 million in 2022, and then this one, three for $31.5 million. Next one was Pittman. Does that sound right?
That is correct. Isn't it crazy for me to still think that Zaire Franklin's on a steal of a contract?
Yeah, to me it's not. You know, and the linebacker money's been reallocated a little bit. You know, when you had Leonard, and if you would have paid Okereke, you know, a second contract, that would have been pricey. But now I think he really brings a lot to the table. Not just, you know, whistle the whistle for him, or should I say snap the whistle. Michael Pittman Jr., three for $71.5 million, 46 guaranteed. Again, the franchise tag just simply disappears here. You know, I had mentioned to you, Eddie, last week, early May is kind of where I would like to see it, just so it would leave you the flexibility in March and April if something would bubble to the surface that you'd want to jump on and you felt like was really intriguing. I understand the reasoning to want to get it done sooner, and who knows, maybe nothing would have arisen for the Colts, or I should say league-wide, that would pique the Colts' interest. I think what this does do, and
I know when I say this, it doesn't sound like the greatest Pittman compliment, but I do want to make sure, like, I think he should be complimented for it. What you've done with this move, Eddie, is you have given Anthony Richardson a hardworking, consistent weapon during his most formative years. And that would be Richardson's most formative years. And that's huge. Like, I think our listeners will know how much I think that matters. Is Michael Pittman Jr., Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson? No. But he is very important to the growth of your young quarterback. And I think it sends a very strong message to Richardson, whether verbally or just through actions, probably more so through actions, that he's going to have Michael Pittman Jr. and Jonathan Taylor alongside him for the next few years. And I think that's really, really important. I think if you have bad apples around your rookie QB at those spots, it can be a little ugly. And I don't consider Taylor and Pittman Jr. bad apples whatsoever. He's going to hit free agency again at 29. Might be the one thing, Eddie. I thought maybe 4 years instead of three. That might be the one thing there. So, yes, it probably limits your flexibility a little bit moving forward and that you give him this extension early on. But you stay away from any of those July deals or those July extensions that maybe could have changed the market value for Pittman Jr. a little bit there. And I would assume this means he will participate in the offseason program, which I think is another important element as you try to further the development of Mr. Richardson.
I was going to ask you about that because you mentioned the 3 years. Do you find it weird at the number of 3-year contracts that have been handed out, not just with the Colts, but league-wide? It seems like everything that I've seen so far has been 3 years. And is there like a TV contract coming up?
I know. I was just trying to think about that.
A new CBA? Because I found it a little odd that there's a lot of 3-year deals being handed out and not a lot of 4 or 2 or... Anything like that.
I'd have to double check CBA and TV contract. I would think kind of the end of the decade would be where that's popping up. So, you know, these deals get you to the open market a little bit earlier than that. The Colts, I guess all of these are technically extensions or re-signings. Yesterday was 3 3-year deals and a 2-year deal. Tyquan was a 2-year.
Correct. Stephen Holder had the numbers on that one. 2 years, $12 million.
Yeah, max of 12. On that, I think there's a lot of incentives thrown in there. Yeah, I was a little bit, you know, but again, there's probably a two-way street with Pittman on this. You know, get me to the open market when I'm still in my 20s. You know, get me to the open market, what, a year earlier than Mike Evans just got to the open market? I think that's some of the thought process there. I totally forget who was next. Was Tyquan or Grover next?
Grover.
Well, it might have been Minshew, but let's just stick with the re-signings first.
It was Grover Stewart.
This was the most eye-popping.
3 years, $39 million. Eye-popping how?
I think that's a really healthy annual breakdown for him. Especially for a guy that doesn't really impact the game on third down. You know, he's just not asked to do that. I mean, if you look at a lot of these defensive tackles that are making huge, huge money, they are really impacting the game on third down. I think Grover is a very, very good player. Clearly, you felt his loss immensely last season. I don't know if these numbers will do it justice, but the 11 games with Grover Stewart, Eddie, you gave up 3.7 yards per carry. The 6 games without him, you gave up 4.7 per carry. I mean, it's one player, a full yard per carry difference. That's huge. Absolutely huge. And clearly, this contract indirectly is a message to what you have on the roster. Like, you don't trust anybody else in a very substantial manner to take over for Grover. You know, he's really, really durable. You can't lose sight of that. You know, because he is what? I mean, he's 30. I think he is 30 or he's about to be 30. So this contract obviously is going to get to, you know, probably one of your older players on the roster, certainly, as he reaches 31, 32, 33, et cetera. But it keeps the strength of strength. And you can make the argument, Eddie, you know, how much are the Colts investing too much at defensive tackle? You know, if you really want to think about the roster building approach, you know, is investing whatever it is, $35 million annually at defensive tackle, is that the route to go? That's a fair statement. But
if you want to put that debate to the side and just live in the reality, you are keeping a strength of strength. And you can make the argument that's your biggest strength. Your defensive tackle duo is your biggest strength in this roster. And you're keeping that here moving forward. He is the last draft pick from Ballard's first draft.
Hmm.
Still around in 2017. So Big Grove, 3 years, $39 million.
After Grover, was Tyquan Lewis on that two-year deal up to $12 million, as you indicated just moments ago?
You know, I think I said to you during the process, Eddie, go back to our green, yellow, red exercise we did in ranking the free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Greens you'd want to bring back, you should bring back. Yellow, very much on the fence on. Red would be a no. So far, all four of these re-signings were green. The yellows, two of them are gone. Gardner Minshew and Zach Moss. You know, I think I said to you about Tyquan, I stand on a table or I stand on a chair for some of these guys. Tyquan, I'm standing on a chair for. Like, I think he's an important guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the contract indicates that. You know, when you're going to rotate a lot on the defensive line, you have to have depth. And he's a versatile, key, reliable depth piece. Again, more than a feel-good story last year. Late in the season, you played him over Quiddy Pay in that rush package.
Yeah.
And he was highly productive in much less snaps than Quiddy Pay. So, yeah, it's a fun, feel-good story. But it's more than, like, Tyquan has earned this contract. I mean, think about that. Torn patella, one-year deal, prove-it deals, very minimal, you know, salary with that. And then, boom, now he gets this. So he deserves it. Makes sense. Again, I think I had the big four in the green category. Then I think I had Sanchez. That was the other kind of whatever, a little bit off the radar guy there. So, again, as we record this right now, before we get to the two losses, these are the four that have been brought back, re-signed, and or extended.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
All right, Kev, now that we've touched on the four Colts that have either signed an extension or are back with the horseshoe, let's look at the two that are departing, starting with the quarterback, Gardner Minshew. He goes to the Las Vegas Raiders, 2 years, $25 million, $15 million guaranteed.
Damn. Good payday for Minshew Mania, right?
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know. And I've kind of every time I've written about Minshew or talked about him here, in the offseason, I basically said the Colts can't provide what he wants. And like that's just the reality of the situation. Obviously, the Colts can't provide it. Minshew wants to play, thinks he should play. That contract from the Raiders says, you're going to come play here. And the Colts just can't provide that. And you know, if you're Minshew, why should you have to hope for an injury to play? That's what he'd be doing here. Now, of course, Eddie, what are they going to do backup quarterback? I could not believe how many Justin Fields-related questions were sent my way yesterday. We have a Twitter question, right, on that?
That is correct, yes.
So maybe I'll hold off there. As we record this, Eddie, they came off the board a lot late last night. Jacoby Brissett to the Patriots, Sam Darnold to the Vikings, Tyrod Taylor to the Jets, and then Marcus Mariota just announced here in the last few minutes to the Commanders. So if you look at a list, Josh Dobbs, Joe Flacco, Jimmy G,
Ryan Tannehill,
Tyler Huntley, Jameis, Carson Wentz, Carson bleepin' Wentz, maybe? Can you imagine?
Who would have the highest likelihood of returning? Carson Wentz, Mr. Gilmore, or Nyheim Hines?
I think Wentz being signed by the Colts might get Ursay to make a, on-camera appearance just to voice some of his comments there. Certainly, go back to Ballard's comments at the Combine. Stylistically, that's not a huge priority for him. And, you know, Huntley probably is the one that falls into that category the most. You know, they had a lot of real interest in Jameis Winston a couple of years ago. I think if Matt Ryan is not here, you're looking at Jameis as a starter for that 2022 season. Now, again, that's not Shane Steichen, but you got to make some investment there. I think veteran investment. I've mentioned it before on the pod. I'd like to see them draft a QB in round 5 or 6. I'd be a fan of day 3, QBs frequently under Shane Steichen. Just the position means that much. But I don't think that can be your backup. I don't think, like, Ellinger can't be your backup. And they, for what it's worth, they do have Ellinger and Mond under contract here. But, again, Ballard backup, you know, is not about style. It's more about winning. So, boy, quite a payday. What did Minshew get here last year? Like, one for, it was some very incentive-laden deal, like in between $3 and $7 million. Now he gets 2 years, $25 million, with 15 of it guaranteed.
Yeah, let me look, actually.
I remember it was a wide range. You know, obviously playing time incentives were huge within that contract. Let's end with Zach Moss. Again, late last night, that would be Monday evening, Moss to the Bengals, 2 years, $8 million. I had him in the yellow category. Like, Eddie, I just don't... you know, I said this morning on our radio show, I kind of poo-pooed the idea of investing majorly at backup running back, and a lot of people didn't like that. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, you know, he could get hurt, blah, blah, blah. You can't invest everywhere with a notable significant resource. That's just not the reality of how the salary cap works. There are some places you've got to pinch. And I view backup running back as a place where you have to pinch. And it's a two-way street as well. I don't think Moss, you know, Moss knows the writing on the wall. He has to have an injury for him to really get a ton of carries here. Trey Sermon's a restricted free agent. Tyler Goodson's under contract. Evan Hall's under contract. Throw a day three pick into that group. I don't think it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That group behind Taylor. That position, arguably more than any other on the roster, has proved, or across the NFL, has proven to be, you know, you can get some stop gaps there. And the Jonathan Williams of the world and that sort of thing.
Although we are starting to see a little bit of a shift in teams willing to pay for a running back, because you look at how San Francisco did it with trading for Christian McCaffrey. Then you have the Lions drafting Jahmyr Gibbs early.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reasoning with Philly going after Saquon Barkley is like, hey, look what it did for those two teams, and maybe it works out the same for us.
Right. There are teams that have certainly, yeah, I don't want to act like everyone's just, you know, whatever, chop liver at running back, but I just, with how I look at the Colts makeup, I think you've got to pinch at some places. And
agreed.
And then there's also the reality of a running back out there. Why would you necessarily want to walk into this situation if you think that, you know, Taylor, of course, is the bell cow, which there's undeniably that he is that, if healthy there. So, again, we are recording this late Tuesday morning, and so far, four are returning, two are gone. Eddie Garrison, unless we missed anything else, should we head to Twitter questions?
Let's do it.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Let's start it off with Rodeo Dan.
I love it.
He sent this in to me.
I'd like to party with this man.
I know, right? He says, hey, Eddie, I have a question for you and Kevin. What are your thoughts on potentially trading for Justin Fields to back up Anthony Richardson? Thanks for all the work you put into the podcast. Greetings from Germany.
Whoa. Radio Dan from Germany?
Rodeo Dan.
Rodeo Dan from Germany. That doesn't correct. Add up.
I wonder if him and Heinrich's from Germany, right? Our other loyal listener?
Yeah, I was going to get, I thought maybe Finland.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Shout out to all of our European listeners. Heinrich. Shout out to all of our international listeners. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Okay, let me start here on Justin Fields, Eddie, because like I said earlier, this was such a popular question I got yesterday. Why would Justin Fields want to come here?
That's a good question. And yes, Heinrich is from Finland.
Shout out to the Finnish hockey team. I always feel like they're good in the Olympics.
They're maybe. Probably good at like hockey and... Oh, what's the other one? Curling.
Nordic skiing.
Curling.
Bobsled.
Yeah.
Why would Justin Fields come here? You know, he can find an opportunity like the Raiders, an opportunity like the Vikings on paper, an opportunity like the Commanders. Like, I see so many other areas. I mean, hell, if you're Fields, wouldn't you wait till the draft plays out? You know, maybe a team that thought they were going to get a quarterback in the draft doesn't get one, and boom.
Well, it's not like he has a say, though.
You go there. Well... Yeah, I guess it depends how the Bears are treated. The Bears act like they are going to be very cordial with him throughout this process. So I don't know why Justin Fields would jump at the opportunity to join the Colts. Like, Justin Fields feels like he still, A, should be a starter, or B, again, be in that situation where, like, he's competing for a job. That's not happening here. The other thing with the Fields thing, that's too much maintenance for the backup QB for my liking.
Oh, yeah. Too much drama would be around that one.
I don't want attention with my backup quarterback.
No, no, no.
And trust me, I think Fields is really a nice talent. I like Fields. I think he's a good player. I think he deserves a chance somewhere. To be the backup, though, and this is my opinion, you've got to accept the role. You've got to realize you're teacher first. You need to help out what we've got as the starter. Matt Hasselbeck to Andrew Luck. That sort of feel to it. That's what I think you have to have. And Fields would just bring so much attention and focus. And Eddie, that first time Anthony Richardson gets hurt and Fields goes in there, and if he plays well, now you've got a 3-alarm fire. Now it's all of a sudden a lot. And some would say, well, that's a good problem to have. And I think when you take a swing at quarterback, you've got to make sure that you support that QB. And the easy answer to supporting is what we've talked about for weeks now, and that's with personnel. That's with weapons. That's with, you know, whatever, strong O-line, consistent offensive coaching staff, et cetera, et cetera. I think you also have got to support it with your backup QB and making sure that your starter's in an environment that he feels comfortable.
Yeah.
That would just be awkward for Richardson as well. And maybe I'm putting too much into the atmosphere and the environment in that room. But even if you want to play out the hypothetical of, like, Justin Fields wants to be here and this is his only option, yeah, I can't go there on it. Are you a Fields fan?
I like Justin Fields, but I
guess in this situation, are you?
No, I don't want that drama or, because the other part of it too is, like, if Richardson's out there and he's not playing well, it's like, all right, we've got this guy. He's an immense talent. He's got a great arm. He's very mobile. He can play a very similar role
within
the Colts offense as Richardson. And he's got more experience than Anthony Richardson. So, hey, then all of a sudden the fans start chanting for Justin Fields and wanting Justin Fields because Anthony Richardson's not playing well.
Yeah, again, I understand the question, but I don't want General Hospital Days of Our Lives type soap opera at my backup QB spot.
Haven't we had enough of that already?
And that's just whether, and I'm not saying, I don't mean it by saying, like, Fields is a bad human or like it'd be the same thing. It goes back to like signing Tebow almost. You know, you just bring a bunch of random cameras in there. And with Fields, you just bring a whole lot of attention there. So I would say no on that. And how I view quarterback is this: I draft one day three, you know, round five, round six. I'd sign a veteran. I've probably seen enough of Ellinger. Not the end of the world if you keep him around, but that's how I would move further with the QB position, or move forward with the QB position.
Only two questions left, a very light Twitter question section in today's podcast. Gavin and Gary are up next. Gavin first. Question for the next pod: what do you make of the safety market this year with all these impact players being released, and how do you think that impacts the Colts' plans at safety? If the price is right, do you see a world where the Colts could re-sign Julian Blackmon and bring in a top-tier safety? I think that would be a huge help to a young secondary. Love the pod, and thanks to both of you.
Gavin, thank you for that. How I view defensive backfield secondary, like I view it like this, Eddie. I think you need to make three moves there. Three notable moves. And that could be a Kenny Moore, Julian Blackmon re-sign, plus another move. I think outside corner would be the area that I would look at. But that's how I kind of view that back end here.
Are you going through a midlife crisis over there? Your hat's on, like, you're about to go drop some bars in the studio.
Oh, well, I'm using the Steph Curry approach. I don't, you know, I'm not putting the mouth guard fully in. I'm putting the hat fully on sometimes and taking it off sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going through a midlife crisis over there.
No, well, I probably am, but just not on that.
Okay.
I would say no position has changed more than safety in the last 2 weeks, just with how many guys now ended up as free agents. Now, we saw the Xavier McKinney signing yesterday.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think that will now start the domino there. I like Blackmon a lot. I mean, certainly. But it's a proven position around the league, and the Colts are an example of it, of you can find short-term. You can Band-Aid it a little bit. So Blackmon is the one I've always probably been the biggest torn on of these four guys. You know, I felt like Stewart would be back. I feel like Moore will be back. We'll see how that plays out. Blackmon is the one that I'm kind of up in the air on for many reasons. His injury history, that position in general. You have a little bit there on the roster. You've got nothing at nickel corner, nothing at defensive tackle if you were going to move on from Grover or Kenny there. So, yeah, that's how I kind of view it. You know, bringing in Blackmon and a top-tier safety, what would that mean for Nick Cross? Maybe Nick Cross hasn't earned the right to be viewed in that sort of situation, which I could totally understand that conversation. But I really like Julian Blackmon. I'm very interested to see how the Colts handle the secondary here in the next few days.
What about the Indy native, Jeremy Chinn?
Jeremy Chinn, yeah. Probably more physical of a presence. I mean, certainly body-wise, he has the look of a safety more than, you know, Julian. You can probably look at him and honestly think a little bit of corner background. Yeah, I mean, Chinn would be a name that I probably would rather see them invest more at corner than safety, like if you're going to make that sort of signing. And really, we haven't seen the corner market take off yet.
Mm-mm.
What happens with L'Jarius Sneed? Like, that Sneed news and the interest of that happened last week. Like, I do think there's legit interest from the Colts. I do think that Chris Ballard feels a little bit of warmth. You know, we've done the seat warmer analogy before, the 1, 2, and 3 levels to it. I think that that thing is on. Now again,
which level?
I would say it's definitely on that second level. And again, that is, I think, internally, that thought is there. That's not my opinion on it. I'm trying to separate my opinion from how I think the Colts view it. And I just think with how corner played out last season, it's important not only to have the quantity of bodies there. I feel like at times you almost ran out last year, but also have some quality there. And just a veteran presence would make some sense. So, we'll see how all of that unfolds.
Final Twitter question is from Gary. Are you sure we don't need to be pumping the brakes on Anthony Richardson? While fans have every reason to like the potential, who's to, with great assurance, say he's not Justin Fields. It seems like everyone is worried about the injuries and not enough about whether after the very few snaps he has played at quarterback at any level that he's the franchise savior. I'm hopeful, but I'm not convinced. On the other hand, it seems like everyone is let's run Alec Pierce out of town. I wish I could remember all the tweets I saw from those that cover the Colts that say, quote, Minshew missed a wide open Alec Pierce. P.S. Tell Mr. Garrison you have my permission to talk about Tiger on every podcast for as long as this is running. Never miss an episode. There's a reason it, like Tiger, is the greatest one out there. Thanks, gentlemen.
Was that my burner that asked that question?
I think so. I don't think I've been anti-Tiger. I just say every time Tiger comes up to cross it off on the bingo card.
I think we answered maybe let's focus here on the Richardson element to it. You know, can you pump the brakes on the Richardson hype? Sure. But, like, what else are you doing at quarterback? You draft the dude 4 overall. He played 173 snaps. There were flashes of real hope in those 173 snaps. And that's what we have to go off of. Like, again, when you support your young quarterback, part of supporting him, Eddie, is simply giving him the opportunity to showcase himself.
Yeah.
Like, you have got to do the job, to do the role, to do the baptism by fire, to get your feet wet. Or else you're just never going to know. And that's where we're at with Richardson. Again, flashes of hope, intrigue, but now it's, can you play a 17-game season? What do you look like on the road? What do you look like in the fourth quarter? What do you look like with 2 minutes to go in a game? All of that stuff we have to see. So I guess Gary asks a fine question, but, like, of course that is a question. I mean, we got a guy going into year two that has 170 snaps. And just because the question has an unknown with it doesn't mean you bail, doesn't mean you whatever. I guess if you want to throttle down the hype a little bit, that's fine. You know, fans can be fans. They can have all different levels of hype. But
Richardson's your quarterback. He's your quarterback in 2025. And then maybe then, if it just looks disastrous these next 2 years for some reason, I guess then that's when you would pivot and go in a different sort of direction. But for the next 2 years, this is who you got. Support, develop, see what happens. I think that kind of covers what he was asking there.
So no response to Tiger there? Really?
Well, Tiger's out. I mean, again, I mean, if it were up to me, we talk Tiger and Notre Dame basketball and bacon and Parmesan. And
are they going to make a run in the ACC tournament?
5 games in 5 days. Oh, man. That just sounds brutal.
Totally possible.
You know,
you've got Marcus Burton.
Morning co-host Andy Sweeney said, this is the day of sad in conference tournaments. If your team's playing on Tuesday of a conference tournament, I go, well, you might think day is sad. Other fan bases would say day of glad, because that means your season's about to end.
So is it a day of glad for you then?
They asked me at 4 o'clock. I really hope the Irish can get on a run. But
How was the golf course yesterday?
Holding my breath. Golf course was great. I did, totally space. It was my brother's 40th birthday, or it is later this week, so we did a golf trip down to Southern Tennessee for it, and I kind of forgot for a moment. I'm like, oh yeah, free agency really starts on that Monday. So a lot of multitasking on the golf course. Luckily, I had some things pre-written and could pop that up on the website there very quickly. But glad to be back dealing with the NFL's version of March Madness. The Browns for Jameis Winston?
That just come across?
The backup list is drying up.
Yeah, it is. Oh boy.
Dobbs, Flacco, Garoppolo, Huntley, Tannehill, Wentz, Winston. Who am I missing?
That's about it.
Rudolph one? Is Jake Browning a free agent?
Rudolph's still in Pittsburgh, I believe. Could be an interesting see if you could trade like a 5th or a 6th for him.
Yeah, that would be. All right, let's get off this before all of a sudden more news breaks, okay?
Back on Thursday with another one?
Yeah, we'll see. Everybody have a great free agency week. The news cycle ever changing. Thank you for listening to this edition of Kevin's Corner.